Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Elica First Quarter 2025 Results Presentation. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on the telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Giulio Cocchi, CEO of Elica. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and thanks for joining our call. Let's go briefly through the agenda, which is pretty simple. We will have some highlights of the quarter, and then we will drill down the industry trend, our sales dynamics, and the financial review to close with some remarks and takeaways from the current momentum that we are living. If we move to slide number four, three bullet points to describe quarter one. First of all, we see after many quarters a positive number, a growth year-on-year, and it's a healthy growth because it's a growth in both of our divisions. So Motor Division and Cooking Division are both growing in a reference market that remains weak, unstable, uncertain, with all the question marks regarding the second part of the year. Net sales were almost 119 million, with a growth of 1.3% versus last year, driven by, I would say, three main factors. For what concerns the Cooking Division, we keep on growing in North America. So our direct distribution plan, the way we are managing our organization in there, our products, our value proposition is working, and as we will see during the presentation, it's getting stronger month after month. We see also, and this is the second driver of our growth, the winning on OEM projects starting to deliver. So our OEM business is positive as it was positive in quarter four last year. So far, we have a neutral tariff effect that may even become an opportunity, and we will describe it in a specific chart in the presentation. For what concerns Motor Division, this is a much more European battlefield, I would say, and we see positive dynamics, especially in the heating segment, where our continuous market share gaining, again, is starting to deliver in a market which is, I would say, stable, but with some opportunities to be taken, and we are doing it. For what concerns the margins, as repeated many times, the transformation that we are living for our Cooking Division and the execution of the project are impacting margin and will keep impacting margin. The priority in this phase remains the midterm. So our EBIT adjusted figures is 1.1 million, meaning less than 1% on revenues, with a difference of 0.7 million versus the same period of last year. The main driver here is the intensified investment in cooking transformation. We are selling, proposing, training LHOV, LHOV, our products, but all of the cooking range. We are working on the display. We are increasing trade marketing activities all over Europe. At the same time, we are transforming Netherlands, so the acquisition of Axier that we did at the very last part of last year, and we are increasing our direct presence in North America from southeast of the U.S. to northeast in the U.S., while Canada keeps growing in an environment which is still promotional. We will see a specific slide, but the price battle is not finished yet. Probably there are some slowdown versus what it was last year, but at least we are seeing in our margins the carryover of the very hard battle that was the second part of 2024. despite of the investment, their size of a market that remains, in any case, is stable, we see our debt profile remaining solid. So our net financial position is exactly where we left in December 2024, with a remarkable work in terms of networking capital management, with additional optimization in our CapEx expenditure, and with a leverage that remains strongly below our covenant. In the following chart, which I will not comment so too much in depth, you just see the trend of the last 2 years and one quarter. So 119 in terms of revenue means a growth that is significant considering the slowdown of quarter three 2024, while the margin level, I would say 1% more, 1% less, is always there. The explanation is basically one: cooking transformation and a strong investment on products, on positioning, on brand, on market development. While, and this is the core, I would say, topic of all of these projects, our debt is always there. So this is a bill that we need to pay ourselves. Stefania.
Good afternoon to everyone. Moving to the industry trend, starting from, as usual, the European market slide relating to the sell-in for the European market. Basically, market unchanged, still driven by replacement factor. The first 2 months of the current year is showing still a weak demand with -2%, aligned with the previous quarter, with some markets like France and Germany strongly negative respect to the average. Regarding the aspiration hubs, also in this case, the market is unchanged respect to the last quarters of the previous year, +10%, mainly driven by the replacement and the consequent conversion ratio from induction hub to aspiration hub. Moving to slide number 8, here we can see the trend of the price and the promotional environment. Basically, also in this case, there is no signal of improvement in terms of price. Focus on kitchen hoods. We can see that January and February, the medium going price is basically flat versus the last quarter of the 2024. Despite generally we see during the first quarter of the year, a rebound of the medium going price due to the seasonality trend, because in the last quarter generally there are some effects from promotional activity, Black Friday, the initiative to reduce stock to our in our customer. In the cooker hoods we still see that there isn't an improvement, as we saw last year during the Q1 2024 versus the last quarter of the 2023. And we still see in our number also the carryover of this negative price mix. If we compare the price of the first 2 months versus the beginning of the 2024, there is a price reduction of 7% for the kitchen hood. Moving to aspiration hub trend, still the line is declining in terms of medium going price, and the price, the promotional effect in the medium going price for the aspiration hubs gave a negative impact from the beginning of the medium going price of the 2024 of -10%. Going forward to slide number 9, relating to the North America market, also in this case, the data is showing a market that is unchanged respect to the average of 2024, with the beginning of the year that for the cooker hoods, for the ventilation segment, is still showing a negative signal, -2%. And if we compare this category with the cooking category, and so all the cooking category, we can see that January and February was a very positive trend, +12%. But if we exclude the impact of the microwave, since the fact that for the announcement of the tariff from China, there was pre-buying effect of some Chinese products in the American market. If we excluding this kind of effect, we can see that the market without the microwave grew at a level of 2.7%. Going forward to our presentation, slide number 11, and we go come back to the number our number in term of sales, 118.8 million of turnover, meaning an increase versus the last year of plus 1.6 million, equal to 1.3%, out of which coming from organic growth is 1.1%, and there is also a slight positive impact from the currency. The positive trend, despite we still see a strong promotional activity coming from the effect from North America project, from the impact of the new project for UM customer, and also the recovery of the demand for the motor division respect to the previous year. In fact, if you look the performance of our division motor, growing versus the last quarter 2024 plus 2.9%, meaning organic growth, or almost organic growth, and cooking division grew plus 0.9%, out of which 0.5% is organic growth. In terms of regional performance, as we said, we can see that America had a benefit contribution in terms of growth for 1.2 million, equal to 6.6% versus the last year. EMEA is minus 3%, and Asia is plus 25% versus the last year, and is all related to our joint venture Ariafina, thanks to the distribution delivery of the new product for Japan. In terms of brand breakdown for the cooking division, we can see that the UM had a great contribution in terms of organic growth, plus 1.7%, and is mainly EMEA market. And our brand is basically flat, where there is a positive contribution from the North America, we can see in the latest slide, in the next slide, negative impact for our brand in EMEA due to the market dynamics. I leave the stage to Giulio for the American part.
Just a few comments on our American business main highlights. Also today, in the first quarter, of course, our B2C, so brand sales and direct distribution sales are representing more than the 30% of our sales, which is a ratio that 2 years ago was, 3 years ago was impossible even to think. Now, in the first quarter, we scored almost 6 million euros of sales. That means a growth of 27% versus last year in a market which is basically flat, if not specifically negative, with an important contribution to our growth in this part of America. What is driving our growth? For sure, we are increasing our customer base. We are more customers thanks to the fact that we are approaching them directly with our, I would say, original sales force that have been restructured in any case, but also with our new two distribution companies, Southeast Appliances and LG, that in the first quarter scored almost 2 million sales themselves. There is a big focus on our products. There is a big focus on the new products that we are introducing in the market because we see an opportunity. So induction and aspiration hubs that we manufactured in Mexico, but also to an enlarged product offer. We distribute Elica, of course. We distribute Ilve and still range cookers, Tulip Cooking, which is, I would say, top range cooking set, and Kobe, which is a Californian Japanese flavored brand that complete in terms of brands our offer. The main point here is that the 70% of the sales in terms of units of an American distribution company in the premium segment is represented by range cookers. So the fact that we have range cookers in our offers allow us to sell more and more cookers. Moving to the following slide, now we believe is the case to give a better explanation of what we see as a potential effect of the duties. No? In this moment, giving a big summary, we see more opportunities than threats from the duties, even if in this moment there is not a specific application on our business. Let's start from the big numbers. So Mexico. Now, Mexico, technically, the duty would be 25% on hops, cooker roots that represent a big part of the value that we then sell to the United States. But there is and there will be no impact, because what is valid here is the USMCA. No? Products that are under the USMCA agreement that will be discussed probably by the end of the year, but that in any case is valid till July 2026, are outside of the duties. So we see no impact ourselves for our own business, but also for what concerns the products, and that are the majority of our sales that we distribute to our OEM, Whirlpool, Electrolux, all of the guys that are playing in the US. For what concerns China, now there is a 145% duty that in our case affects our wine coolers and refrigeration business. Of course, we are talking about minor sales. We see the effect being non-material. For what concerns the wine coolers, the agreement that we have with our distributors, with our customers, it exports from China. So the customer is in charge for duties obligation. They will apply a specific price increase after having negotiating a price reduction from the producer. Same for what concerns the fridges. Our customers will apply a price increase of 40%. Now, in order to offset the cost and, let's say, defend, if not completely maintain their market, their margin. There is also, so even here, we do not see a material effect because the quantities are not that many, and because in any case, all of the customers that we met are ready to apply the price increase. Let me say also something that may describe better the purchase pattern that we are talking about. We in North America are playing in the premium segment, but premium, meaning that the average expenditure of a family for a kitchen, wood plus appliances, is in the region of $70,000 to $90,000. So the $1,000 more on a fridge is not something that changes the decision, considering that the remaining part of the offer is basically with no price variation. There are some product lines, mainly B2B, mainly IKEA, that we produce in Europe and that we sell in the US, where there is a 10% duty applied. Also in this case, is the customer in charge for duties obligation. We are talking about a flow that is no more than 1.5 to 2 million euros, so not material values also from our customer's perspective. that will apply if the case specific price increase. For what concerns the last part, the range cookers, so Ilve and Steel, that we buy from Italy with our distributors and we sell to the market, even here there is a 10%. But again, we are playing in the very premium segment. This means that we pay from Ilve, for example, or from Steel, 4,000 euros for a range cookers. That means that there is a duty of 400 euros. We sell these products, the final distributor sell these products to John Smith at 12,000 euros. So these 400 euros completely disappear in the value change, and again are not a decision-making price increase from a purchase perspective. So all in one, in this moment, with the picture that we have been given so far, we do not see duties representing an issue. What could be the only point to put attention? Once this scenario will apply or not, because some of the threats are still not applicable. No. What we know is that all of our customers, but also all of our competitors, will react with a strong price increase in the market. No. Of course, this may delay some purchase decision from the final consumer perspective. So the only effect that we see is that this scenario, that we are also sure will sooner or later smooth down, will become inflection and consequently somebody that cannot afford anymore the purchase. Our channel, the premium channel, we see it quite safe, no, but from an OEM perspective, so value for money, that could be some risks if we look to this perspective. There could be also some opportunities, and then I close this specific part of the presentation. Why? Because we produce in Mexico, and a lot of, let's say, the mid to low price competition, so what is sold in the big malls, the Home Depot, Lowe's, is instead purchased in China. So in this moment, we have some big customers that are coming to our factory in Mexico, asking to develop some product from them. Why? Because even if this scenario, sooner or later, will become more, let's say, manageable, to have a double source helps in a situation that is happening now, but might happen back in a couple of years. So this, from a side, represents an opportunity. Represents an opportunity, if we move to the following slide, as we see an opportunity in the U.S., So from the beginning of April, our Southeast appliances, that is the blue part of the slide, is developing in Northeast. We have a new sales force under the same company, so under our control, which is distributing Elica, Ilve, Steel, so with a full product range, and it is attaching the second richest part of America. Here, we have seen so far the cost of implementing this organization, we haven't seen the revenues, the growth, and the opportunity that we are creating day by day.
Okay, moving forward to the financial part, slide number 17, the P&L. We start from the revenue, even if we have already commented 118.8 million, that is means plus 1.6 million versus the previous year. Positive contribution from new products, the North America, the volume recovery for the motor division, offset in terms of volume and sales, the negative carryover, the negative effect of the promotional activity. In terms of profitability, adjusted EBITDA 7 million means less 0.6 million versus the previous year, and adjusted EBIT 1.1 million, that is means 0.7 million less versus the last year, are related and has been impacted by the investment in our business transformation, the trade activity relating to support and the distribution and the launch of the new product, the further investment in the further expansion of North America distribution. As we said, we moved from SEA to expand our direct distribution to Northeast of America. All of this affect the profitability of the quarter. In terms of financial charge, we have a number that is slightly better than the previous year. In terms of net profit, is a negative for 0.7 million and group net profit negative for 1.1 million. But in this scenario, we preserve our net financial position since we have the same number despite the seasonality that generally affects the first part of the quarter. We are aligned with the same level net financial position, 47 million of net financial position. Despite we increased our stock because we increased around 5 million of stock, but we did a very good job in terms of the other items, so our net working capital, receivable and payable. And also a positive effect of CapEx because there is 1.2 million of positive effect that is coming from CapEx. And we are able to keep our leverage below our covenant and in line to what we recorded the last year, 1.5 as leva. I leave the stage to Giulio for the closing of remarks.
So, slide number 20, just to give a timeline of our project, no? We are in the red part of the slide, red from many perspectives, no? We have done many things to recover profitability, to change, I would say, the business model of this company. Or at least the attitude to focus on those business that represents the future for us in a less costly, more strategical, more less complex and more focused way. This have allowed us to deliver very good results from 2021 to 2023, but moreover to structure the group in a way that we can better manage the future. Now we are in the transformation phase. That means that the focus from cost reduction becomes building long-term growth fundamentals, no, which we didn't have fully under our control in the previous part of the story of the company. This means the cooking transformation, built-in range, positioning, love. It means boots on the ground, so investing on the distribution in Europe as well as in the US, as we just commented. It means also to develop the big opportunity that we have in Motor Division in terms of new channels, in terms of product lines. Up to last year, we were just producing for, I would say, the hot part of the Motor Division. So heating, ovens, ventilation. Now we arrived to the Frankfurt Fair with a motor for refrigeration, no, that could be applied also to, I would say, commercial refrigeration. So opening a new channel while developing new products already with new customers. So not just a guess, a project. We are investing on distribution also in terms of small, sustainable, intelligent M&A, AG International in Canada, Axier in the Netherlands, Nordis Appliances, which is not an M&A, but is an investment in people, in organization, in a warehouse, so something that allows our sales, our strategy to become reality, to go straight to the final customers. Of course, as I mentioned at the beginning of the presentation, the attention, the focus on the financial management is obsessive. No? We need to pay the bill ourselves. This is the mantra. No, this will allow us in the midterm to have a new brand positioned where we want it to be and where it deserves to be. We will allow us to have a product range that this company never had, a wider, stronger, our distribution network with a strong customer base growth, scalable innovation, that means induction, that means also what we have doing in terms of electronics and what we are developing with the Motor Division, no? With a huge availability in terms of production capacity, we can increase our production, our sales, the 30% without buying an asset. Of course, this, if we are good, as we are, to manage the debt while we do investment in a growing phase, no, this becomes a huge opportunity. So, just to close, slide number 21, what are the takeaways from these first 3 months of 2025? Without repeating what I've already, said, is that the start is good. The start is better than we expected, but there are still 9 months ahead of us. No? And we experienced in 2024, as well as in 2023, that probably, I would say, June, July is becoming the sanity check period to understand if the year will be under control, as we believe in this moment. The profile of the debt is solid. The transformation is going well. What we see is that the strategy is delivering. Every small bit that we do, that we close, starts immediately to deliver. Market share, customer, sales. We do not see it at this stage. It is preliminary, in my expectation, any changes versus the guidance that we gave the mid of February. No? So one thing is sure, we are not going to change our midterm priorities. We may balance some of the projects in order to run quicker, no, if we see the opportunities, or reduce the cost if we see that we need to take some more attention on the financials. No, but the path is that one, and it can only go faster. In terms of guidance, we keep with a, I would say, flattish guidance versus 2024 in terms of revenues and margin, with, if we continue working as we are doing so far, a further improvement in the net financial position, but moreover, a huge delivery of projects that is what then will start to pay in the following years. Thank you.
This is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question, you press star and one on the touchtone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from Emanuele Negri from Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, everybody, yes. And thanks for the presentation and for taking my question. I have a couple. The first one is on the outlook for pricing beyond the US, which will be obviously be impacted by the tariff scenario. In Europe, which kind of price should we assume? Do we expect that pricing for Aspiration Hobbs and Cooker Hoods will continue to decline through the year, or do you think that we reached a bottom on this term? And the second one is on profitability. In this challenging context, which kind of action do you have in your pocket to try to support profitability through the year? Thanks.
Thanks, Emanuele. Pricing. We foresee, an erosion of the pricing also in 2025, but made of two effects. No? We imagine that there will be a carryover of what happened in the second part of last year, where from a side, no, the average market price kept on decreasing. On the other side, we took a decision to react to some attacks, especially in France, but also I would say in the same Italy, no, in order to go promotion and then to reposition some of our offer, mainly on aspiration offs. No, so I would say that we should have roughly a 5% combined of price erosion coming from carryover and new price actions in 2025. Then there are some other activities that impact on net sales, because they may be discounts, they may be promotion, they may be quantity premiums that are related to the launch of the new products. No? So extra discounts if you have a Love displayed in your store, additional discounts if you have a Love, a Cooker Hoods an aspiration hobs and an oven in your stores. This is specific actions that we are doing mainly on big customers and on also the geographic dimensions where we want to be not only present but also very much visible. No, but I would say that this 4 to 5% is what we have at least planned at this part of the year. So with probably the big battle still to start. In terms of profitability, let's say the first part of the year, we see two effects. Now, one is the investment that goes over. So in terms of people, in terms of distributions, in terms of trade marketing, in terms of visibility on the media, and also that will be flat all over the year. In terms of Ducati sponsorship, no, so this is coherent with what we did last year. You see also an additional negative effect that is the carryover of the labor cost increase, no, on the factories, but also on the white collars. No, on the other side, there are actions from our side that will deliver the most impact, let's say, between the end of, that will be materially visible in our economics, between the end of quarter two and, I would say, the second part of the year, no? Because they need time to be implemented, and actions on the cost, actions in terms of negotiations with some of our suppliers, actions in terms of restructuring where something needs to be restructured. So I would phase them, let's say, more on the second part than on the first part of the year.
Because I can add also that in the current quarter we don't see any impact of raw material. What we said at the beginning of the year that our expectation in terms of raw material was basically neutral, because there are some positive impact that we will see coming from the negotiation, as Giulio said, but there will be also some negative impact from some commodity like copper. In this specific quarter, what we saw, it was highly negative impact, because we are consuming stock at the same price of the 2024. So still we don't see, due to the fact that we closed the year with some stock, we don't see the positive effect of the negotiation that Giulio said before.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone. For any further questions, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is from Carlo Maritano from Intramonte. Please go ahead.
Good evening, everyone. I just have a quick question. In the first quarter, we've seen a decrease in CapEx by more than 1 million. So I was wondering what amount of CapEx should we expect for the year? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Carlo, for the question. As we said also, in terms of guidance for the current year, in terms of net financial position, our target is to improve a little bit the financial position versus the previous year, because, as you said, we need to finance our investment with our resource. And one of the key points to improve the net financial position is the level of the CapEx. So our target is to reduce, respect the last year, around 2 million versus the closure of the 2024 that was 17 million of CapEx. Our target is to have 15 million. That is clear that part of these positive effects is coming from this our attention and focus on CapEx, but there is also a seasonality effect. But the target is to have an improvement, a reduction versus the previous year of 2 million.
Thank you, Stefano.
For any further questions, please press star and one on your telephone. Mr. Cocci, there are no more questions registered at this time. You have the floor for your closing remarks.
So, thank you very much. We'll probably see in other occasions. Thanks a lot for joining the call.
Thank you.